Welcome everybody to this teleclass, and this one's called D is for Delegate. Delegate. It is one of the things that I often say to my clients, D is for Delegate, because delegating is such a great way to get things done. So that's why I created a whole teleclass about it. I'm Angela Ainoff, creator of the Professional Organiser's Edge, trainer of professional organisers, et cetera, et cetera. And welcome to you, and I'm glad you could be here for the class or to listen to the recording. Throughout this class, I will mention three code words. Now, whether you're listening to the recording or listening live, you can use these code words to claim a certificate of attendance that you can then use for your APO accreditation. So make sure you do that. Now, why are we talking about this subject? Well, why delegate? There are things that we love to do, things that we're proficient at and passionate about, and where those two things meet, proficiency and passion, is what Michael Hyatt calls the desire zone. So in business, there's something that we love to do and we're good at. For most of us, that will be organising, since that's why we're in this business. We love it and we're good at it. There are things that you're not good at and or you don't have any desire for it, and they're not in your desire zone. And those are the things that are really good to delegate, because it frees you up to do the things that you're good at and that you are passionate about, meaning that you can make more money. So if you're earning more than you're paying your whoever you're delegating to, that is a sweet spot to be, because you can keep on doing what you love doing and let somebody else take care of the drudgery, which is what you don't love and what you're not good at. It gets you focusing on your core business, and the time that we all have, obviously, is finite. It's a precious resource, so we're going to use it more effectively when we focus on our desire zone and doing things more efficiently like that. Now, desire got me to create today's first code word, which is Delilah. Now, Delilah is the name of my granddaughter. So when I titled this little bit, Why Delegate? I thought, why, Delilah. So there you go. The first code word is Delilah. Write it down and I'll tell you what to do with it at the end of the class. Now, there are reasons why we don't delegate. So why don't we? Well, it's scary sometimes. Sometimes we think, well, we're starting out or we don't have the money to delegate. Sometimes we think, oh, it just takes too long to explain it to somebody else and I'll just do it myself. Sometimes we might even say, oh, I tried that once, it didn't work. Delegating is just not for me. But I want you to have a think about what you're already outsourcing, and I bet there are lots of things that you are already outsourcing. For instance, I bet you don't service your own car. I bet that if your car needs a grease and oil change or, a service, that you take it to somebody who actually knows what they're doing. Now, just imagine if you didn't. And if you said, right, I'm going to save money, I can probably muddle through, I'll look at some YouTube videos and figure it out for myself, that would be an awful lot of time spent doing something you're not proficient at and you probably don't have a passion for. But there's other people out there who are great at it and they love playing with cars, and they will charge you a price. But in the long run, don't we agree that it's money well spent? It's an investment in a really useful tool, your car, and we need to really see that for our business as well. Yes, it can be scary. Yes, it takes time and money, even if you've tried it before, it's worth trying it again with some of the tips and resources that I'm going to share with you tonight. Now, before we get into those tips and resources, let me share with you a little story from way back many years ago when my kids were little and I was in charge of running a fundraising sausage sizzle. And when I went into this, I really had no idea, no experience in managing a team of people. It was sort of the first time. I was very young and naive. And I knew all the things that had to happen for this sausage sizzle. Of course, we've got to buy the supplies. We've got to have a number of volunteers to do the cooking and we've got to, you know, sell them. We've got to handle money. We've got to slice onions and all of those things. And me being in charge of all that team of people and the whole process, I almost fell into the trap of thinking that I had to be doing it. If we ran out of onions, I had to be the one to slice them because it was my, one of those fancy mandolins and I had to do it. Thankfully, my husband smartly said to me, hang on a minute, it's not your job to do all those things. It's your job to oversee all the tasks and make sure they're getting done well by people, to, you know, look out for when we're getting low on bread, task somebody to go and get more bread, monitor the production so that we always had sausages ready and so on. And that really, that very brief conversation saved me from embarrassment and a disaster, and it really made me see that when you're in charge of any kind of operation, you need to rise above and have a bit of a helicopter view and then manage the people doing the jobs that they've been allocated to do. So the second code word we're getting into very quickly is Greg. My husband, Greg, thank goodness for his advice on that day. So if we're going to work in our desire zone, what is it that we are going to delegate? And as I said before, you're probably already outsourcing some things and delegating to other people, so you might already be doing these things, and if not, you might start to consider the possibilities. One thing I definitely delegate is my housekeeping. So this may seem obvious, but I can definitely earn more money doing what's in my desire zone, what I'm proficient at and what I'm passionate about, than when I'm trying to catch up on the ironing or trying to clean the bathroom. So I, very early on, even before I started this business and when I was doing other business, outsourced that. I have outsourced my bookkeeping. That is something that I used to dread so much, and it's such a relief now to have somebody else do it. It's so much faster than what I can. Of course, accounting, that's a given. I'm no good at accounting and I need good advice, so I outsource that. Other things you could outsource are graphic design, everything from creating the look and feel of your website and your logo to creating infographics and images to put on your Facebook page and so on. You could even outsource your social media tasks so that somebody else who actually enjoys it and knows what they're doing is taking on those things for you. Of course, your website design and development. Proofreading. So if you've got some content you've created, you've written a book, an article, some posts for Facebook or whatever it is, get somebody to proofread it. The content creation, as I said, this could be anything from, you know, a three-month course that you've developed to just a couple of articles. Templates. Now, template creation would really help, and it's a very easy thing to delegate because it's something that someone can create quickly, once, and then you can repurpose again and again. The tech side of your business, especially if that's not your first love, tech set up and support, having somebody who knows what they're doing is invaluable. Now, what other kinds of things would you consider delegating? I'll let you have a think about it. Write down anything that comes to mind that you hate doing, you're not good at doing, but that needs doing, and then maybe it's something that you could outsource. Now, how do we do this wonderful outsourcing? First of all, you've got to document the process. In order to delegate well so that everyone's happy with the end result, you really want to make sure your instructions are clear, and that starts with documenting your processes. It even starts before that by asking yourself some questions about the task. First of all, is it a necessary task? So before you've even, you know, decided to delegate, it might be something that you could just delete from your world altogether. So ask yourself, is it necessary? Next, ask, is it a recurring task? Is it something that you're going to have to do again and again? Because then it is definitely worth training up somebody else to do it for you. Is it in your desire zone? Remember, that's the place where your proficiency and your passion meet. If it's something that you're proficient at but you hate doing, you know, maybe that is something to really pass off to somebody else who loves doing it. If it's something you love doing but you're not that efficient at or you're not proficient at it, maybe there, you know, you could end up, just because you're having fun, you could end up spending a lot of time doing it. And in my world, that is social media. You know, I enjoy it, but not that great at it. It could really suck me into a time warp. And, of course, related to that is the question, is it the best use of my time? So once you've asked those questions of yourself, it's time to document your processes. And when you're documenting, you want to be really clear. Remember that you're going to hand this off to somebody who doesn't know what you know. So write the steps in really as basic a language as you possibly can. Communicate the steps well with deadlines, with your expectations. If it's something that requires, you know, a certain size, make sure that's stated, whether it's an image that's being created, you know, does it need to be a square image in these dimensions, etc. And write it step by step. And then as you're writing it down, make sure the steps are in the right order. That might seem obvious, but, you know, make sure that it makes logical sense for somebody following the instructions. Once you have those instructions written down, try to put aside everything you already know about this process and follow those instructions just as you've written them, not adding on any prior knowledge that you already know, not making any assumptions, just following the instructions you've written. And you'll soon see if there are any weak spots which need tweaking and setting up. So figure out what's missing and add that in as well. So documenting your processes is something I tell everyone that I train to do right from the start. You know, I recently hosted some training and I held it at my home, and I have a list of things that I do. Even though I've done it many, many times before, the list is very clear about what I need to do. And I'm not delegating the task, but even so, the instructions are clear. Even, you know, chill the water in the fridge before the guests arrive. Put out the glasses. Put out the pens and pencils that people will use. Those sorts of very detailed steps. Now, that works really well when you know your task well, when you're handing over a task that you know how it works and how you want it to look in the end. It doesn't work for a task that you don't know the process about. For instance, maybe it's building a website and you don't know the steps to building a website, but you will have some very clear ideas about what you want from the website. And it's important to make sure all of those expectations are really clearly defined before you put your brief into action. Before you hand over to somebody, make it really clear that the language you use can't be misinterpreted. And I'll give you an example of this. I recently engaged a VA to do to create some certificates of attendance for a talk that I had done, a presentation, and the people needed a certificate to show that they'd been there. So that's okay. I found a VA online that I could, you know, work with. We seem to understand one another. And I sent off all the information that I thought she needed. It, you know, using this, I had already developed the program, certificate. I already had it. All she had to do was put in the names, etc. And it was in Publisher, the program. And so I sent her that and asked her to send all the participants their certificates, which she did. And it wasn't until somebody wrote back to me and I actually saw what had been sent that I realised I had missed one important step, and that was to turn the publisher file, when they saved it, it should be in a PDF format. So, of course, not everybody has Publisher. Not everybody has the capacity to open a certificate in Publisher format. They needed it in a PDF. But I hadn't passed on that information to the new VA. Of course, you learn, and I learned very quickly that you've got to be very explicit, you know, whether you've created the process or not. All right, so that brings me on to finding the right person. Now, it is true that most outsourcing, most delegations do cost money, but not all. And one that is growing in popularity and getting used more and more these days, especially because we have, you know, we're so connected through social media, is crowdsourcing. Now, I happen to know somebody who is creating a new website, and she has put it out to her friends, a request that they join an online group where she will post a page, probably one page a day, into the group for people in that group to proofread and to test links and to, you know, to just give feedback about what they thought and felt about each of the pages. And, of course, she's asked friends, and friends have responded with, yeah, sure, I can help, you know, read one page a day is not a problem. So there you go, crowdsourcing for some tasks really can help you out. Many years ago, I crowdsourced my logo. I didn't get anyone to design it, but I asked people for advice about the concept. I had my business name, Creating Order from Chaos, and I put it out to my friends and colleagues in business and said, when you think of the word creating order from chaos, or the phrase, what comes to mind? And it was as open as that. And I quickly got, you know, lots of feedback back from people talking about transformations and, you know, butterflies coming out of cocoons and things like that. And that's how I came up with the brief that I took to a graphic designer to create my website, which is jumbled boxes transforming into neat and tidy boxes. So there you go, crowdsourcing is an option. Another free or inexpensive way to outsource is to swap skills. So you have a skill that is valuable, naturally. You could agree with somebody to swap, do a swap of skills. So you could say, look, I'll come and, you know, declutter your wardrobe for 3 hours if you will help me do whatever, build my website, basics. I don't know what else you could ask for. You know, maybe it's a logo. Maybe it's getting some business cards printed. Maybe it's some VA work. So have a think about what skills you need and what skills you have to offer. VAs are great. A VA is a virtual assistant. So it's just like a PA, a personal assistant, or a secretary. Only with a VA, you pay generally by the hour or by the project, and you can hire them on a very short-term basis. You can hire them as a one-off service, or you can, you know, engage them for, you know, 5 hours a week if you wanted to. It's a very flexible model that works very well. And the good thing is that VAs have their own specialties. So you'll have some that are really good with data entry and with maybe entering facts and figures into your bookkeeping software. Or you'll have other ones that are great at maybe the sales conversations. So those skills, you know, you could hire somebody that helps you with one task, and then the next day hire somebody with a different skill set. And you get to build a relationship with these people. They get to know you and your business needs, and it can be really quite useful. I use my daughter a lot, but not for everything, because her skills are, you know, limited. She's great at some things, not great at others. So I give her some work that she does really well. Of course, you want to get recommendations from people. If you hear about somebody's VA or even a VA service where there might be a jobs board that you could select, you know, various people from, that might help you. So we'll talk about the resources and where you go to for those. And, of course, you want to get the right people, the right professionals in your life. So those are the people that, you know, need a qualification, like an accountant. You want to make sure that whoever you choose knows you and your business well enough to give you great advice about where you're headed, so into, you know, into the future. They might be helping you make other lifestyle decisions as well based on your tax and so on. So think really carefully about who's on your team, who are the right people, and when you're selecting people, there's another thing apart from skills to consider, and that's personality. Will you be able to get along with this person? Will they take feedback well? Will they listen to what you're saying? And will they have good ideas themselves? Will they be able to add some value to you and your business? The other thing when you're handing work off to somebody, as well as having a really clear instructions and, you know, a good idea about what their skills are and all that, is to define the delegation level that you're handing over. Because delegation can come in various forms. There's the kind of delegation that is, all right, here you go, here's a task, and you have the authority to make decisions. In other words, you might say to somebody, I want to book a space to hold a presentation. You might say to them, I want 5 recommendations. and that's all they're allowed to do is just bring you the recommendations. Or you could say, find some recommendations and then you go ahead and book the one that you think is the most suitable. You can see that there's quite a different responsibility level in those two delegation levels. And it's something that you need to be careful about when you're handing off work to somebody. You don't want them committing on your behalf financially if that's not what they were hired to do. On the other hand, if you really want to just get rid of the task, hand it over to somebody else and they come back to you and ask questions every step of the way, ask for your approval before moving forward, that can be really annoying and time consuming. So be really clear between you and whoever you're hiring about what their delegation level is. And that brings me to the third code word, which is Michelle. And Michelle is my daughter that I outsource to. So the other thing, once you've you've documented your processes and selected the right person and handed over the job to them, of course we hope that they've done a good job, but we need to review. And you really want to put in place the expectation that there will be a review, that there'll be some feedback, and you would hope that they'll give you feedback too about how things could be done more efficiently in the future. You would also need to make yourself available to support, especially in the early stages. Don't expect that you can just hand something over and don't hear about it until the job's done, because the job might be done not to your satisfaction. So you really want to be there for support as much as possible in the early days. And then, as I said, be clear about your expectations that there will be a review. Don't be afraid to give the feedback. I know it can be hard when you're hiring somebody to say, actually, that is not what I asked you to do. Could you please do it again? And I don't expect to pay for it. You're the boss, and there is a nice way to handle that. So don't be afraid to give the feedback. And it is a working relationship, so, make it a professional one like that. And as well as that, you want to be reviewing your own delegation style. So one of the things that really annoys people is the hovering, the constantly checking in and micromanaging. If you find yourself doing that, it might be a sign you haven't built up the trust yet, or it might just be your personality, which you might just need to check. But find out what is the happy medium on both sides. So what do they need from you and what do you feel comfortable handing over? And as I said before, it might come to your delegation level. If you're micromanaging, it might be that you just need to bring it right down to the basic level and not let them make any decisions on their own until they've really learned more about you and your business. Now, I promised that we would talk about some resources, and there's some good ones that I want to share with you. Now, a free resource, a checklist that you can create yourself, a simple list, A to Z, what needs to happen, 1, 2, 3, step 1, 2, 3, etc., that you've created and is easy to hand over. Another free resource is Dropbox. Now, this is great because you can share documents between you. You can do that on Google Drive as well. You want to make it as easy as possible. And what I have found, thank goodness, is that often the people who do this for a living, especially VAs, will come up with some fabulous ideas. It's just a matter of being open to their suggestions and giving it a go. I've really learned a lot from those fabulous people. One really good resource that is you can have it free, I think it's for a month, and then you have to pay after that. But because this is a way to create your checklists and your processes and document your processes, it may be that you only need to get that free month. It's called Sweet Process, S-W-E-E-T, process, process.com. And it really is just a way to systematize your checklist. So have a look at that if you get some time. A fabulous resource for outsourcing all kinds of jobs, it's just extraordinary the number of jobs that you can outsource, is Fiverr.com. And it's spelled Fiverr.com, Fiverr. Now, it comes from they'll do anything for a fiver, basically. So anything from logo design to creating book covers to infographics to social media marketing, even marketing strategies, proofreading and creative writing and all transcription services, it's fabulous. You could get even virtual assistants on there, although there's a few better places as well to get those. So think about what on earth you would like and just go to Fiverr and have a play around, because it's extraordinary the things that you can do. I noticed that they will even do pranks. They'll even do celebrity impersonations and pranks. Okay, so that's Fiverr. Trello is another great resource. And Trello is free. It is, I believe there is a paid service as well, but there is a free one, which is fabulous for sharing, processes and checklists, and it's a bit of a project management tool that you can share with other people. So, there are several steps in a process. Maybe you're going to do three and somebody else is going to do some. You can share that process that way. Trello.com. And another one. This one, it's called Basecamp, and it is pretty well known these days. It's been around for a long time. It does cost, but if you're serious about doing this outsourcing stuff, it's a great way to manage projects and so on in a team. So it's $29 a month, I believe, and we actually use it in APO at the moment for the Committee of Management, and it's working really well. What else? Of course, there's all the Google stuff, Google Docs, Gmail and so on is great for that kind of stuff, project management and sharing of emails and sharing of documents and so on. Hiring a VA is, as I said, there's a few jobs boards and things that are around. The one that I use is called Virtually Yours, and I think there are others around. So it's virtuallyyours.com.au, and in there it's really useful. You can place an ad for what kind of jobs you're looking for, what kind of work you want done. And then it goes out to the people that are signed up, the VAs that are signed up, and you'll be inundated, I'll say, with emails from people who are interested in doing the work. And the good thing is that once you have enough applications, you can turn off, you can post that the job's been filled and so on. So you won't be continually bombarded, but you get a really good sense of little things like who actually read the ad properly based on whether they answered the questions you were asking. You'll get a sense of responsive time, if they're responsive, if they're keen to get your business and so on, as well as the basic things like how much they charge for the job and all that kind of thing. So, as I said, Virtually Yours is a great resource. You know, there are other ones around. I haven't had a look at whether, you know, there's much competition, but that's a good one. So those resources should get you started with your D is for Delegate. And I'm keen to hear if there are any questions out of all of that. No, we've got silence. I know that there are some people on the line who kindly muted themselves while I was talking. If you do have a question, pop it into our Facebook group. We'll get the conversation started there. Or, of course, you can email it to me. I will mention the resources in the recording. When the recording is sent out to you, I'll send the email, mention the resources as well. So if you haven't been able to write them down, that's fine. It'll be there, and I hope you enjoy those. Now, what to do with your code words that you've written down, the three, my family members, which is a bit different, and I'm always trying to change it up and make it interesting for us. Send those three code words to me at angela@creatingorder.com.au. Put D is for Delegate in the subject line so I know which class they relate to. And you'll get the right certificate sent to you so that you can claim your professional development hours for your accreditation. And good luck with that. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy delegating and that you get to work in your desire zone. Cheers.